We talked to Mikkel Åland about shooting Raw when we met up with him at the Macworld Expo in January 2006. He's the author of Photoshop CS2 Raw and is an expert with working with RAW files in Photoshop Bridge and Adobe Camera Raw. In addition, Mikkel began with a surprising story about Ansel Adams. We may think of Adams' classic black and white images of our national parks, but Adams was very interested in technology.
I started off with film and chemistry. And I had the really fortunate good luck in my early 20s, mid-20s actually, to meet a master photographer by the name of Ansel Adams. And he's also mostly recognized as being a very traditional photographer working in black and white, clearly in the world of film and chemistry. I interviewed him in 1981 when I was working for a Swedish magazine. And at the end of a very lengthy, very interesting interview, I just kind of threw out the last question. He was, I think, almost 80 at that time. I said, what would you do if you were starting all over again? What would you do right now if you were me? And he just, the twinkle in his eye, his face just lit up. And he started talking about what he called electronic photography, or I guess digital photography, in the context of what was going on with JPL and NASA and the Mars photographs, and how now we were able to make images electronic. And by doing so, we could explore the image in a completely different way than he was used to exploring through the traditional methods. And he went on and on about that, and I had no idea what he was talking about. He was actually a visionary. And I found that out subsequently, that, you know, he was involved with Polaroid, with Dr. Land, and a lot of the early developments in color. I mean, you never think of that with Ansel Adams, but he was a visionary. And I think if he had told me that, and that would have been it, I think I wouldn't have really, really got it. But what happened was, very shortly after talking to him in the summer of 81, Sony announced an electronic still video camera called the Mavica. And I went, oh my God, here it is. Ansel Adams is talking about it, and now Sony's actually bringing out a product. Well, they announced the product. It was actually many years before the product came out. But it was enough to totally capture my imagination. And I would say from that moment on, 25 years ago, I have just been just aiming down that path of digital photography. And actually bought the first PCs and then scanners. And just, it was all very crude, kind of like using pinhole cameras, if you're familiar with that technology. It's really basic stuff. But it was really exciting because you could turn images into electronic bits and manipulate them. I was shooting film professionally, shooting for magazines, shooting for books, shooting some commercial work, all in film, of course. But at the same time, frustrated because I'm really tired of the darkroom at this point. My fingertips had all turned kind of brown and scaly looking, and my lungs were starting to hurt from hours and hours and hours in the darkroom. And I was getting excited about the idea of what you know, we've now called, become, it's becomes what we call a light room instead of a dark room. So it was there on the horizon. I wrote a book in the late 80s, early 90s called Digital Photography. It's one of the first books out with that title. And in the book, in the introduction, I said, the future is now. Well, I was a little ahead of myself, like maybe about 10 years, I'd say, because although we certainly had made huge strides since I had heard about it in 81 to 91, if we had a long ways to go. I mean, the digital cameras were still really basic and expensive, and the image processing software was pretty basic. What's really exciting me now is RAW. I get really excited when I talk about RAW, and that's the subject of my new book for O'Reilly. The RAW information is the data that comes off the electronic sensor of a digital camera. So this is information that hasn't been processed. It hasn't been assembled, if you will. It's kind of like primordial ooze. When you look at it, if you can, you can't really look at it. But if you could, it would look very, there wouldn't be any color. It would just be basically luminous information, kind of very malleable because it's so basic and so crude. And what's exciting about that raw data is you can then manipulate it and change it process it the way you want to, as you like it, as opposed to a JPEG or a TIFF. A lot of people, and I think this is a good analogy, they consider the raw data as a negative. In a traditional sense, in traditional photography, you had a negative, and then from that negative, you made interpretations, which were basically prints. With raw data, you make interpretations, and that interpretation becomes a JPEG or a TIFF or a PSD file. So you have the negative as raw, and then you have the print, which is with a JPEG or TIFF or other file format. Now, a camera, when you don't save the raw, is doing that process. It's making the print for you and throwing away the negative. So then you may have a very perfectly acceptable print, looks really good, i.e. JPEG or TIFF. But if you want to do something different, if you want to change the color slightly or try to bring out a better exposure from it, better tone mapping, you don't have the raw data anymore. It's gone. So you're kind of stuck with what the camera's made. With Photoshop, you can go in and alter colors. But what you're doing is you're altering the information. Because if the information's not there, if you've lost all the information, what you're doing is interpolating, it's never as good as if you had all that information to begin with. And with the raw data, for example, with white balance, the white balance hasn't been set. So there is no, you haven't thrown away all the stuff that's outside of the gamut of the white balance that you've set. So with the raw, you can go in and literally do anything you want in terms of white balance and change it, and it's non-destructive. You always can go back to that raw data and come back and change it, make a different white balance. As opposed to a TIFF or a JPEG, when you bring that in Photoshop, you can change it a little bit, but it's really truly not going back to the original data. You don't get anywhere near the quality, and you're not working with the true pure data to begin with. You're working with data that's already kind of fixed. There's a couple things that you don't have to worry about. When you shoot JPEG, for example, white balance is critical. You really need to get that white balance right on. You also need to get the right color space set, whether it be sRGB or RGB. Because again, once you set it as a JPEG, you can't go back. If you've chosen a narrow gamut like sRGB, you can't go back and really truly utilize a full RGB. It doesn't matter with RAW. So with RAW, you come in and set your color space later, as you do the white balance setting. With RAW, you also do your sharpening later, too. So the sharpening setting on the camera doesn't make any difference. So those are the three main things that with RAW. Having said that, from a workflow point of view, it's always a good idea to try to get that stuff right to begin with, because it makes it easier downstream when you do the processing, rather than have to go back and really figure it out later. One thing, though, that's pretty very exciting with RAW is that when you go to do your tone mapping, you have a lot more room to maneuver. Many photographers say 2, 3, 4 stops more out of the raw data because it's all there to work with. So that adds another level of flexibility that you wouldn't have otherwise. Obviously, with raw data, you need the right software to process it. Not everything will handle raw. There's a lot of pathways out there, a lot of applications now that will handle RAW, and some of the new ones are the sexy ones. Apple has introduced, for example, Aperture, and then Adobe has a new program called Lightroom. There's been other programs around for a while. The pathway, the application that I'm writing about now for the new book, and the one that I actually really find very useful because I can do so much in it, is the Photoshop CS2 application, which includes, really, there's three components to it. There's Bridge, there's Camera Raw, which is a plugin that actually does the kind of the heavy lifting and the work of manipulating that raw data, and then Photoshop itself, the traditional application. So when you go in and start using those three environments, you can do so much to your raw data. And there's also ways of streamlining it so that you can go in and fairly quickly process a whole multitude of raw images and have them ready to go and with very good quality. Again, this is something I get into in the book, and how to automate the process of handling lots of raw information. And then, of course, if you want to make your so-called master print, the most perfect image, you can take a single RAW file and just really go to town with it, optimize the tone, the light, the white balance, the sharpening, get rid of chromatic aberration, all kinds of things that show up, artifacts that show up in digital images. You have so much control over all that in Camera Raw and in Photoshop. The raw data is always there. It is the negative. It's filed away. You save it. You don't throw it away. Please don't throw that raw data away, because that is something you can always go back to. And as applications get better in the future, I mean, this is what we're doing now is pretty sophisticated, to assemble the raw data into a print, if you will. But in the future, I mean, some of the stuff that may be coming down the pipe may be able to take that same raw data that you've saved and do even more amazing things with it. So yeah, you save your negative, and then you have your prints that you can then set aside as for printing or putting on the web or whatever you want to do to disseminate or share that print. Anyone that wants to get the most possibly best picture that they can should be shooting RAW. So if you have decided that in this case, when you're shooting a landscape or you're shooting something that you know you really want to get quality out of it, you shoot RAW. It's a no-brainer. So it's not a matter of being a professional or a serious photographer or an amateur. It's just, if you want the best possible picture, shoot RAW.
Mikkel Aaland, author of Photoshop CS2 RAW, from O'Reilly Media.